not turn my back on him now. You've given to me everything I have. He gave me my first breath. I'll give him my last. I'll not turn my back on him now.
Good evening. My name is Cherith Angel, and I'm from here. I'm a sophomore this year studying secondary education.
Hello, my name is Bailey Smith. I am also from here, and I will be a sophomore this year studying secretarial science.
Hello, my name is Kaylee Moore, and I'm from Elgin, Illinois, and I'm a sophomore studying secondary education.
Hello, my name is Rachel Lesson. I'm from Brighton, Illinois. I am a senior studying graphic design, and at the piano we have Kara Barr from Martinsburg, West Virginia. She is a sophomore studying secondary education.
Curse the Lord and die, she said, Job. Curse the Lord and die, he said, no, I'll not turn my back on him now. My vows are made for good or bad. He's been the best friend I ever had, so I'll not turn my back on him now.
I'll not turn my back on him now. He's given to me everything I have. He gave me my first breath. I'll give him my last. I'll not turn my back on him now.
There they go, all Job's possessions. Everything old Job held precious, but Job said, bless the name of the Lord. Friends and family, houses and lands, God holds all things in his hands, so I'll not turn my back on him now.
I'll not turn my back on him now. He's given to me everything I have. He gave me my first breath. I'll give him my last. I'll not turn my back on him now. He gave me my first breath. I'll give him my last. I'll not turn my back on him now.
Hello, like I said, my name is Bailey Smith, and Brother Rabideau just told me to give a quick testimony about Providence Baptist College. And I know a lot of you guys hear about Providence, so I just wanted to kind of tell you guys what Providence has been for me this past year. I decided to go my senior year, and there were a lot of reasons that I decided to go to Providence. But I just want to tell you about a couple of the reasons that I chose it. One of the reasons that played into me choosing Providence was my sister attended the school. And the first year that I saw her come back from college, and I saw how happy she was, and how strong of a Christian she had become, I knew that I wanted that. And I knew that Providence had helped her with that. And I knew that Providence was a place that would help you grow, and it was just a strong college that took a strong stand, just like our pastor does. And I knew I could trust in it because her pastor taught there. So I was really excited to choose Providence for that reason. And another reason that I chose it was because it was closer to home, and it's, you know, I'm going to be honest, you know, it was just a blessing to be able to come back, you know, for a couple weekends, and Providence has just been a great blessing. I was a little hesitant at first, to be honest, in my high school years to attend Bible college my first year, but I believe the Lord has blessed me for doing his will, and I just want to encourage anybody who's out of high school. You know, I know all you guys, so I know that I can truly recommend Providence as a good pick, and I just want to thank you all for standing behind me, and I just want to thank you all, you know, and I would just recommend Providence to anyone, so thank you guys.
before you go. What about His grace? What about how He came? What about the blood He shed on Calvary that washes sin away? Think of all He's done and how He helped us overcome. How could we ever run away? What about His grace? What about His grace? What about how He came? What about the blood He shed on Calvary that washes sin away? Think of all He's done and how He helped us overcome. How could we ever run away? What about His grace? Think of all He's done and how He helped us overcome. How could we ever run away? What about His grace? His grace.
So if we were in a different church, I would reintroduce myself. But since you all know where I'm from, I'm just going to jump right into it. So my testimony tonight is going to be twofold, but I promise it won't be long. First, I just want to say that growing up in church all my life, I've been raised in primary camp, junior camp, teen camp, youth conferences, thousands of services. And one thing that was stressed to me over and over again was the fact that there is no place that you can be most safe and most happy than in God's will. And I'm here to tell you that that statement is true. And I know I'm only 19, and Lord willing, I have the majority of my life left to live. But I know that right now, God's will for my life is to attend Bible college to better prepare me for His will in the future. So I just want to say that for all you teenagers out there, it's important to find God's will for your life and to live it, because I know, like me, you'll never regret it. And then secondly, I just want to say that tonight my heart is full, and I'm so thankful for this church and this place. I'm so blessed to be a part of Faith Baptist Church. And there are many times over the past school year that I've been homesick, actually quite a few times. And when I miss my home and my church, I picture this auditorium in my head. And I see all of you sitting in your pews, and you're so faithful. And I just want to say thank you, because I don't want to name any names, but I'm so glad that I can say there's Mrs. Scow, which she's serving in the nursery tonight, but there's Mrs. Scow, my first through third grade Sunday school teacher. And there's Mrs. Griffin, my 4th through 6th grade Sunday school teacher, playing the organ still. And so many people, I look around, faithful Sunday school teachers, faithful bus drivers, and Sunday school helpers. And I just want to thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord and faithfulness to this church. And also many of you have sent random text messages or cards and just saying, you know, thinking of you, praying for you, I love you. And you don't know how much that means to me. And I know Bailey has gotten several of them too, so you don't know how much that means to me. I just want to say thank you for everything you've done.
To go, John said with a glow, He's living again. He's living again. He raised from on high. Oh, yes, it's true. He came here to die.
He rose from the grave.
Roll that stone away.
Again. turning your Bibles to Proverbs 22, and we'll look at the seventh verse. We'll read that all together. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 7 tonight. Stand with me, please. And we'll look at the seventh verse of Proverbs 22. If we'll all read it together. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a blessing it is already to be in this service. And Lord, how my heart is full. Pray, Lord, that you'd please just continue to speak to our hearts. Pray, Lord, that you'd please be with the special music. These ladies, as they come back and they sing again. Father, I pray, Lord, that you just prepare us for what our preacher has. Be with the message. Pray, Lord, that you'd please be with the preaching of your word. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Guilty as charged, alone in my sin, ashamed to admit that I needed a friend, a prisoner of pain, blinded by sin, those chains had me bound. But that's when Jesus stepped forth in my place, taking the shame and all my disgrace. He cried, "It is finished," as he bowed his face, then mercy came down. Mercy came down to show me love, covered my sin with Calvary's blood, pleaded my case before the judge when mercy came down. Now I am pardoned, free and safe. I've been redeemed by amazing grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found, for mercy came down.
That old account was settled in prayer at an old-fashioned altar. God met me there. He washed all my sin, made me an heir to a heavenly crown. Now Satan may try to bring up my past, but I'm washed in the blood. My soul is at rest. Forgiveness was mine the moment I asked, when mercy came down.
Mercy came down to show me love, covered my sin with Calvary's blood, pleaded my case before the judge when mercy came down. Now I am pardoned, free and saved. I've been redeemed by amazing grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found, for mercy came down. Mercy came down to show me love, covered my sin with Calvary's blood, pleaded my case before the judge when mercy came down. Now I am pardoned, free and saved. I've been redeemed by amazing grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found, for mercy came down. Mercy came down. Mercy came down.
His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried for my burden. The nails that held him set me free.
His life for mine. His life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's Son would die.
mine.
His scars of suffering brought me healing. He shed his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy untold.
Seasons of Life Building, the 11th message in this series that gets interrupted. And we're in chapter 22 tonight. I'm going to pray and we'll get into it a little later in the hour starting to preach. I'm aware of that and it will not be as long tonight. I'm always on thin ice when I say that, but we'll get into it here. Our Father in Heaven, thank you tonight for the great music that teaches us and stirs our heart about the Lord Jesus giving His life. And now would you please come and help us in these moments. Lord, bless my mind to be clear and the Word of God to go forth. And would you anoint us all with the Spirit's fullness so that we can get something from the Scripture tonight. In Jesus' name I ask it and amen. Brother Payne, I'm hearing myself out there and not up here. So I probably need a little boost up here on the platform. Now, several weeks on Sunday evenings we have been on the subject of the purposes for the different seasons of life. Ecclesiastes 3:1, to every season, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. So there are many different seasons in life, and there is a purpose, the Bible tells us, for every one of them. These messages have been interrupted by other messages that I needed to preach, and I will continue to do that. But over the next several months, I will also continue to return to this topic as well on Sunday nights, and I'm just trying to take life as it progresses. We started out all the way at infancy and childhood and then the teenage years and college and career years. The last time we were together on this theme, I talked about the principles of courtship and then the wedding day. And so tonight I'm going to be very topic specific. I want to talk about young married couples and money, just for a little bit. Now, this is absolutely not exhaustive. And by the way, what I'm going to say tonight, because there are several Bible principles about money that, we need to give attention to, especially young married couples. They really fit everybody. But my target group tonight is the young married couples specifically. So I hope that you will listen. And we won't be lengthy on it, but I'll give some. Let me give you some Bible verses. Of course, the one that we just read. In Proverbs chapter 22, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, some will take, and I'll be honest with you, I'm excited about these messages, but they're not my favorite simply because it's more like counseling from the pulpit rather than preaching. And that's why I'm not going to do it every week. Come back once in a while and just have a regular preaching service. But the Lord put this on my heart some months ago, and I want to continue on as the Lord leads. Some will take this scripture and they'll make the case that it is a sin to borrow money. Now, I don't believe that Scripture makes that case. I do believe that you must recognize that the borrower is servant to the lender. All right? Now, some are going to make the case that it's a sin to borrow money. If you want to live like that, that's fine. That's great. But I don't know that you can take Bible principles and teach that it is a sin to borrow money. All right? I also think about the verse over in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6 that says this, godliness with contentment is great gain. I also think about Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I preach a message to teenagers called Happiness is Tied in Knots out of Psalm chapter 1. And the first thing we're told about the happy man, blessed is the man. That word blessed means happy. What we're told about that man is this. Well, the first thing we learn about that man is that his happiness is not because of what he has. His happiness is because of how he lives. And that's the truth, young people, and young married couples, and everybody. The things that we possess do not create, they are not the source of happiness. Happiness is created by how you and I live, especially when we try to live by biblical principles. I think about this verse in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. I think about Proverbs 16 and verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Listen to that. Did you hear that? Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Now, these are Bible verses, and there are many others that teach principles about our relationship with money. And I'm going to speak specifically to the young couples tonight. But I want to say this before I get into some very simple, practical points. I am not against men whose ministries are basically financial counseling and financial advice. And there's several men who have ministries like that, and a lot of their advice and a lot of their counsel is based on biblical principle. But I want to say this tonight. If you think that everybody is going to be in great financial shape by age 20 and have cash to pay for everything, never having to have a loan, having all their ducks in a row, financially sound by age 20, that's not reality. And in some cases, I think that's where the bar is set. And it's like if you don't get there by age 20, you've done a lot of things wrong. And I don't agree with that. I just don't agree with that. I think that's ideal. But how much of life is ideal? The truth of the matter is very little. Now, I'm not against it. I'm not against it. But folks, why are all these verses in the Bible about having little and being content with it if everybody by age 20 is going to be set? Is that just a waste of space? Or did God address an area of life that more people are going to live in? Are you all with me tonight? You're looking at me like I'm not being critical. But, you know, when what you teach and preach is based on the ideal only, makes it very difficult when you set the bar up there, makes it very difficult for people who just don't get there. I believe with all of my heart, I love what Tom Malone, I think I told you before, when Tom Malone, who's in that little book that we gave you, Men's, written by Tom Malone, a great pastor up in Pontiac, Michigan, and when he was in Bob Jones, I think he was in Bob Jones College, before it was Bob Jones University, and he grew attracted to this young lady named Joyce, And he proposed to her, and she said, "Yes, I'll marry you, but on one condition, I want you to have $1,000 in the bank when we get married." Now, folks, you're talking about back when $1,000 would be, you know, equal to maybe $10,000 today. And about 6 months later, they were, you know, they were dating and talking, and they were talking about getting married. And she said, "How are you coming on that $1,000?" And he said, "Well, I think I'm at 68 bucks." And she said, "Close enough," and they got married. So you know, I appreciate idealism. I appreciate idealism, but a lot of times idealism is not realism. And so I want you young couples to be wise. I want you to avoid the crucial mistakes that so many make. I want you to practice caution and live by biblical principle, but I do not want to discourage you by setting the bar here and saying if you don't get there, you've made a lot of mistakes in your life financially. I just don't think that's fair. I think there's a lot in the Bible that will help everybody. Now, first of all, I'm going to give you, what have I got here? I've got five, and don't panic, okay? I know it will not be long. All right? And one of the reasons why is because I planned to be out in Ohio with lots of time to myself to finalize this message, and then my aunt and uncle and cousin showed up from Cleveland, Ohio, and they came over to visit with us. They weren't even there to be in the wedding. They were there just to see us, and so my time was spent with them that I was normally going to prepare more in-depth in this message, and I hate that, but that's, I'm just being honest with you, that's what happened. So I'm not going to get up here and just blab on when I haven't put a lot of thought and study behind it, okay? Now, let me say this. Number one, I think you could probably give me number one. Number one, honor God with the tithe. Now, I don't know any more sound financial advice to give a young couple than to honor God with the tithe. Honor God with the tithe. We've been on this subject several times, and there is a crowd and a group, and I'm not being critical of them, but they say that the tithe was done away with when we come to the New Testament, and you know, but I just don't find that that's said anywhere in the New Testament. I do find in 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 14, where Paul goes back to the Old Testament tabernacle and uses that example of those Israelites tithing, and then he says to a local church, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And I believe with all of my heart that that verse teaches that the tithes and offerings of a local church is what the full-time staff lives off of as God's people bring their tithes and offerings to the local church. I do not find any scriptural reason to say that tithing was abolished in the New Testament. And I find historically that people who tithe seem to please God with their giving. So I would just put it down, the best advice I can give you as a young couple about finances is honor God with the tithe. It's His. It belongs to Him. The tithe is the Lord's. So just take that top 10%, minimally 10%, and give it to the Lord and be done with it and get consistent about it and don't question yourself and don't second guess yourself and just do it and do it faithfully and be consistent and watch God bless. All right? So, honor God with the tithe. Number two, save a portion. Save a portion of your income. It is not unbiblical to have a savings account. It's not unbiblical to have a savings account. Now, I've heard lots of preaching over, not lots, I've heard some preaching over the years. It almost makes you feel like a dog if you have a $50 in a savings account. But I don't think that's true. I don't think you need to feel like a dog if you have a savings account. Let me just say this. If you are not married yet and you are at home and you're living under Dad's roof and it's not expensive and you're honoring God with the tithe and help out a little bit financially if Dad wants you to, don't spend all your income. Save, 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 save. I do think a lot of young people could do a lot better financially if they wouldn't spend every nickel they get in their teenage years. And maybe that bar of being financially free could be more easily reached if people were more careful with their finances as young people. Okay? So save a portion of your income, and even young couples, if you just get to the place where you can put $10 a week aside or $15 a week aside or whatever it is, if you can save just a portion of your income, then I believe you will be glad that you did. You'll be glad that you have a little something to fall back on in case there are difficult times, in case when there are difficult times financially. So save a portion. Number three is this one. Guard the plastic. Guard the plastic. It is so easy to buy now, pay later. So easy to buy now, pay later. But paying later is not fun when you don't have enough to pay the card off and you get socked with 19 or 21% interest finance charges. Or even greater than that in some cases. You gotta guard the plastic. You know, I stop on the way into church at the Shell station over here in Briarcliff every Sunday morning on the way in, and we stop there and I get my wife a snack so that I can write her a little note and leave it for her in the Sunday school classroom. I can't tell you how many Sundays I have been in Briarcliff Shell and I've watched young adults buy Coca-Cola and Snickers and Three Musketeers and chips and Sour Patch Kids and put it on a card, and the cashier says debit or credit, and they say credit. And I think to myself, my goodness. My goodness. Charging food that will be consumed in a matter of moments on a card that possibly is already close to being maxed out and the balance won't be paid and you'll be paying 19% interest. You better really enjoy that Three Musketeers. Really enjoy that. Better eat it real slow. Gum that thing to death and get everything that you can out of it because it's going to be a costly candy bar. Eat those chips one at a time. I don't know of this personally, but I hear of young adult couples having 3 and 4 cards maxed out. And by the way, I guess I should back up and say I have, in the past, worked with some single college age and young adults who got themselves in a mess who did have 2 and 3 cards maxed out. And all they could do every month was just pay the interest, just pay the finance charge. That's not a healthy way to start out as a married couple. This is a cashless society. Now it's so easy. Everything is paid for on plastic. But you've got to be careful with the credit card. I know we've had even some financial men come in here and say, you know, do away with your credit cards altogether. I'm not sure. Maybe you're able to do that. That's wonderful. I know traveling, it's very difficult to travel without a credit card. Believe it or not, folks, you can throw crisp $100 bills at the rental car counter and they don't want to see that. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. But you gotta be careful with the plastic. Guard the plastic. It becomes so easy. Now, you know, this is gonna chap some of you, and if your dads don't agree with me, you go home and tell your kids different. I know if you want to build a credit rating, you've got to get a card and you've got to do that thing properly and build a credit rating. And I told our kids that when they got one, put your gas on there and pay it off at the end of the month. But don't ever carry a balance. Don't ever put anything more on there than you cannot pay for at the end of the month. Some don't agree with that. That's okay. But that's what I told my kids. I'll use a card. I'll pay my electric bill with a credit card. I pay that with a credit card. And then I get points at Cabela's. I got a good little stash right now. Amen. Go to Cabela's one of these days and spend that money. And if you don't, you know, if you don't like that, if you'd agree, then that's fine. The farther you are to the right, the more conservative you are, I applaud you. What I'm against is just whipping out the plastic every chance you get and paying for everything. Buy now, pay later, and all you can't pay it, you pay the finance charge, and you're going to choke yourself financially if you're not careful. So guard the plastic. Number four, start small. Start small. You don't have to have the biggest. You don't have to have the newest. You don't have to have the fanciest right when you are married. Start small. Be okay with small. You know, I'm sure every married couple in this room tonight, at my age and over, and maybe even some younger than me, could stand and give stories about their early days. And I know you've heard, it's been a long time since I've said it, but I remember when my wife and I went on our honeymoon, and you know what? I make fun of, you know, going to Hannibal, Missouri. That's not the most romantic place in the world to go. Hannibal, Missouri. You know, people are going to Cancun and Cozumel and all these places today. And some of my own kids did that. I'm not against it. But if all you can do is go to Hannibal, that's all you can afford, go to Hannibal. I know one thing. We only had one direction to go from our honeymoon. That was up. You can't get much lower than Hannibal, Missouri. But we didn't have any time. And that's what I'm saying. You know, yeah, if everything was ideal, yeah, you know, we would have had 10 days and we could have gone. But we were in Bible college and I was working and my dad was limited to how much time he could have off in the summer. And I wanted my dad to come to my wedding. So we had this much time and this much money. That's what we did. When I came back, I didn't owe anything. Moved into that little apartment there in Dyer, Indiana, off Highway 30. There was five of us married couples living in that one house. Not in the same apartment. They were in different apartments, thankfully. Our table was two old trunks pushed together. You know what I'm talking about? Those black trunks? There was two of those pushed together. She had one and I had one. And we pushed those things together and we sat on the floor. That was our kitchen table. We didn't mind. We were in love. We didn't bother us. Happy as two coons in a cornfield with the hound dogs tied. It was wonderful, you know. Start small. I remember our first Christmas. I mean, pathetic decorations, but we had a good time. Start small. It's okay. When you start small, you'll have much to look forward to in the future. Much to look forward to in the future. So start small. Start small and be okay with that. I think this is what some of these Bible principles are talking about here. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. That's okay. If all you got's a little and you got God and you got God's smile on you and God's favor on you and you love each other, you got a whole lot more than what some people have who live in $500,000 houses. So start small. Number five is the form of a question. Should the wife work? Should the wife work? I know what Titus chapter 2, verse number 5 says, that the women should be, the wife should be keepers at home. And as a young married couple, I would advise you to attempt to make your living expenses compatible with the husband's income. I'll say that again. Make your living expenses compatible with the husband's income. And you say, well, you know, we're not going to have any children for a couple of years. You don't know that. If your wife can work from the house, if you don't have children for a while, a couple of years, and your wife can work from the house, or she can work while you're at work, if her income could be used, go right to savings or just the opportunity to get a little bit ahead. And I don't think it's a bad idea. But to base your living expenses dependent on your wife's income is not a good practice. Not a good practice. Because when those children come, they need a mom at home. They need a mom at home. Now, we just celebrated 37 years of marriage. And my wife, and I'm not being critical of anybody else, but my wife has never worked outside the house in 37 years. Now, the game has changed. Some of my married daughters are bringing some income into the house. They don't have jobs, but they work. They work from home. They clean houses. They do this, they do that. Sell a little bit on eBay. I'm not against that. I think it's helpful, especially in this day and age. But that should just be gravy. Don't build your expenses on your wife's income. I've said it before, I'll say it again. There's something about when that child comes home from school and mom is there. Mom says to that child, "How was school today?" But you let 2 or 3 hours pass where they're with a babysitter or some sitting service. Then you sit down around the table about 6 or 6:30 and you say, "How was school?" "Fine." The moment is lost. It's lost. So I would do everything I could to make it so that we could live, our financial expenses are compatible with the husband's income. And then as necessary to assist and help, the wife works from home or a situation where she's not gone from the children. Now, that's five. So look, just because you tithe doesn't mean that you'll be blessed financially. You can't tithe and then violate all of their financial principles and then blame God and say, "You didn't take care of me." Tithing is the best fundamental sound advice I can give you, but then you need to take some of these other biblical principles and put them to work. And I don't have a scripture verse for every one of the five things that I gave you tonight, but I think they're based on biblical principle. And when you can't find a Bible verse that teaches that it based on biblical principle, biblical truth, and you live that way, I think it's a very safe way to live. Very safe way to live. So you young married couples, it is a difficult world to live in. And that's in every area, including finances. But I think there's a way to do it that will honor God and where God can honor you. And that's ultimately what you want. You want God to honor you. Let's stand together. That's all what I have tonight for you. Those thoughts. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, bless our young people, our young married couples specifically. I pray that you'll help us all, not just young married couples, but everybody, to live by biblical principle when it comes to money, to honor you, and then, Lord, to practice as well these other principles of sound financial wisdom. Bless our young people, our young married couples, Lord. It is a expensive world. And I just pray that you'll give them great wisdom, diligence, and help them to live biblically in this area of money. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not saved, now's a good time to come. Let somebody talk to you about salvation or in front of the Lord and believers' baptism or just come to ask the Lord's help for tonight.